Happy Memorial Day, Dirty Moderates. We at this podcast are nothing if not warriors for democracy and devoted to the American experiment resolutely and unwaveringly. So to all the veterans who are serving currently, have served, and of course in memory of those who've fallen or been slain fighting for this roughly 250-year-old American experiment, happy Memorial Day. We are indebted to you and cannot thank you enough for your service. This past week, leading up to Memorial Day, we had some pretty unpatriotic things going on, as usual, over in the Trump-Republican Ron DeSanctimonious party that Florida governor himself is officially a candidate. Shocker! Ron DeSantis is in the race. Meatball Ron is upon us. Of course, in the Trumpist age, I think everybody wishes that suddenly and magically the Republican Party, once the party of Lincoln, could reconstitute itself as a viable center-right limited government party. Alas, that is not to be in any conceivable sense, because anybody who would potentially do that is not running, and if they're running, somebody like Nikki Haley is going nowhere. Anyway, Trump's chief rival, though I still wager that Trump will be the nominee, his chief rival is Ron DeSantis, but Ron DeSantis, and I'm not the first to say this, is trying to be the tribute band, the Trump tribute band. Yeah, the real thing's there, but if you can't have the real thing, the ersatz carbon copy is going to give it to you, and it's no less dangerous. This week, DeSantis announced disastrously for president, by the way, and I'm not going to waste your time on all of this BS of what happened on Twitter and he announced and how many views he got. It doesn't matter. He's in the race, and he is certainly formidable should something happen to Trump, should Trump actually end up in prison. The Republican Party sees a future for this guy because he is speaking their language of state power against the enemy. State power in the service of our agenda, meaning their agenda. State power as a weaponizing, evil, nefarious force. Not in any way. The very fundamental constitutional notion, which used to be endemic to conservatism, it's endemic to the country. It's one of the beliefs I have, is that it's not that we are protected by the government in this country. We are protected from the government. That's one of the many reasons, not the only, that we are unique among nations. We are protected from government coercion. So it supposedly is, or it should be, or long was a tenet, a conservative article of faith. That is no more. When Ron DeSantis took a question this week, should have been an easy answer, but guess what he gave? Guess the perilous answer he gave. He was on a conservative podcast. He was asked whether or not, if he were elected president, he would actually consider pardoning Donald Trump and anybody who had organized or participated, rioted on January 6th. Okay, this, by the way, this week, Stuart Rhodes, head of the Oath Keepers, was sentenced to 18 years, just so you know. So chief organizers are going to the clink as we speak, as of this episode. You know that Oath Keeper leaders were sentenced and so on and so forth. Okay. Instead of saying he wouldn't do that, Ron kind of, you might say, teased in the direction of the conspiracy theorist minded, which really have become foundational to the Republican Party. He said a DeSantis administration would, quote, look for any example. Now listen to this Orwellian speak. This is where the Orwellian shit show begins. When George Orwell spoke about politics in the English language, he said politicians and leaders will use it in the worst way. They will purposely use it to make things unclear, to blurry the subject, to make them vague, to obfuscate an issue. Here we go. DeSantis said he would look for, quote, any example of disfavored treatment based on politics or weaponization. Okay, well, very interesting use of language. Again, he would look for, quote, any example of disfavored treatment, interesting choice of words, based on politics weaponization. By the way, that's also vague. It's one of those clauses a lawyer could drive a Mack truck through because nobody knows what the fuck he's saying. But anyway, the second little tease, though, was for all the white nationalists out there. Come on, folks, listen up. Friends, Romans, white nationalists, lend me your ears. As they said in Julius Caesar, here's what he said, quote, if there are other people who did the same thing, but just in a context like Black Lives Matter, oh, we got to bring BLM, don't we? Like Black Lives Matter, and they don't get prosecuted at all, then that is an uneven application of justice. And so we're going to find ways where that did not happen. Huh? Anyway, a lot of double negatives. But, and then we will use the pardon power, DeSantis continued, and I will do that at the front end. Okay, so there's a lot of gobbledygook in this, okay? It's very elliptical, unclear, double negative laden language. You sort of read and go, if people didn't do this, then they wouldn't do this, so therefore they won't and can't, and you're like, what the hell? Anyway, he is cowardly, refusing to say that, yes, plain and simple, I would never dangle a pardon in any way as either a carrot or a stick in front of anybody who had participated in overthrowing or trying to overthrow the government on January 6, 2021. That's what he said. The false equivalency shell game. That's all they got. He's got to bring up Black Lives Matter because that's it. All we're going to talk about is looting and rioting and burning. I didn't support that. But hey, awful. Didn't want it. But it wasn't Black Lives Matter that tried to nullify a free and fair election. It isn't Black Lives Matter that are trying to cast seditionists as heroes, right? But this is the shell game. Have to talk about Trump and January 6th and the 2020 George Floyd protests. Legitimate protests, by the way, after a man had a knee to his neck for 8.5 minutes by a racist cop. Okay, just for those that forgot the history. Okay. Now, this is their tool. This is going to be DeSantis's game, although he didn't full-throatedly say, oh, yes, I'm going to give a pardon. He made sure to say that he wouldn't rule it out and that if other people had committed atrocious acts, why should they be let off the hook? False equivalency, racial politics, failure to condemn sedition. Again, all of this, and there's a lot of reasons that Ron DeSanctimonious is unfit for office, and it isn't because he's sanctimonious, though he surely is. It's because the whole of his policies and his agendas are so fundamentally anti-democratic, small d, anti-freedom. And now, clearly wading into the waters of traitorous sedition. Now, you may remember in December, this past December, okay, 2022, Mitch McConnell, right, even said the entire nation knows who is responsible for that day, meaning the insurrectionists, people wearing Camp Auschwitz t-shirts, people beating up cops with MAGA flags, the cops who were injured and murdered. You know, we had extensive coverage of January 6th on this show and spoke to cops from January 6th and all of that. And we have been dedicated to making sure people never forget that fateful day. Hey, even Tucker Carlson knew Trump crossed the line. He may have only texted it in private, but we've seen the text from the Dominion lawsuit. Yeah, he knows too. Not giving Tucker any credit. Never said it out loud. But even Fox now, after being humbled by the lawsuit, after settling for nearly $1 billion, you watch Sean Hannity and Lauren Ingram. Don't worry, you don't have to. I'll do it for you. I watch them and I hear them sort of, oh, yeah, well, you know, Biden won, but we got to beat him next time. Well, they weren't saying that for the first 2.5 years, were they? Anyway, is DeSantis now positioning himself like further out on the fringe? Does the Dominion lawsuit, which, of course, has sent many conservative viewers leaving Fox now and heading over to Newsmax for the truth. And of course, Carlson leaving and taking a mass exodus with him for sure. I mean, this lukewarm at best defense of democracy, and I hate to even call it that, or this kind of manipulation, this language of, well, the rule of law must apply evenly bullshit, isn't just a message to MAGA supporters and Trump supporters, right? It's actually a message to Trump himself, a warning that to the former president who has been ripping DeSantis apart, who has been eviscerating him and disemboweling him and eating him alive and calling him all sorts of names and lambasting his record as governor, saying he would be nothing without him, pretty much doing what Trump does. Is this a message, kind of a not so veiled warning to the former president that if he gets on DeSantis's bad side and DeSantis does become, gulp, the 47th president of the United States, that the pardon might not come to fruition? Is that what Ron is doing? Is Ron playing his own version of hardball? That I don't know. But I don't care, because even if this is inter-party nonsense and political games and parlor games, we're talking about the first time in our country we didn't have a peaceful transfer of power. We are talking about a nation that almost lost its democratic means, its fundamental miracle, as Ronald Reagan called it, a miracle, that every 4 years in this country we have a peaceful transfer of power set forth in the Constitution. And but for 2021, enacted and cherished and extolled every 4 years, but not that time. I mean, now, pardoning domestic terrorists, sadly, has been done before, and it has hurt us before. It can set you up for decades of pain and injustice, and also not just say that certain people are above the law and other people aren't, but that, yeah, even if you're a domestic terrorist, your cause is somehow justified, not just in your own mind, but we're going to give a sanction to it. What do I mean by that? Well, you may remember that the Confederacy, beginning in 1860, was formed, South Carolina first. There were 11 states that seceded and formed their own country called the Confederate States of America, the CFA. Yes, their own country. They wanted out. Why? Because they did not believe that not only should a war not be fought, but that America should be rendered over the fact that black people would remain in bondage or not. That should be a given. They should have been bondage forever. They were property. They were the economy, and they were less than human. They were 3/5 of a person. Okay. We went to war over this. Miraculously, the great Abraham Lincoln was elected in 1860, and narrowly so, but still pulled out a re-election before the Civil War was completed in 1865. He won in 1864. But what happened? He was murdered at the Ford, everybody knows, at the Ford's Theater by John Wilkes Booth, Confederate sympathizer and actor. And his vice president was Andrew Johnson. Lincoln had to put a Southerner, Tennessee Southerner, who actually was also impeached, like Donald Trump and Bill Clinton, although Andrew Johnson came within one vote of being convicted. No president has been convicted, but they've been impeached. Andrew Johnson was vice president. Lincoln was shot, and he pardoned Confederate soldiers after the war. Yeah. So he allowed the kind of treachery and traitorousness and levels of betrayal of the national spirit and our foundational idea and our documents, our Constitution, and our values. He allowed all of that undermining to somehow be forgiven, or shall we say, forgotten. And in pardoning these folks, okay, let's just say that that spirit of rebellion kind of existed and lived on longer than it should, or maybe still lives on. I mean, there was a veteran of the Confederacy who is still serving as a senator as late as 1921. Yeah, it's only 122 years ago. Also the same year, by the way, as the Tulsa Race Massacre. A century after that, a Confederate senator still existed. Now, the Confederacy was defeated, but they were from a Confederate state. On January 6, 2021, the first time, and I think I've mentioned this on the program before if I haven't, that a Confederate battle flag was carried into the hallowed halls of the Capitol Dome. It had never reached the Capitol during the actual Civil War. Lincoln never allowed that. It never got there. They couldn't do it. But on the day that Trump incited an insurrection and the violent throong of people who were told the election was stolen, who believed the election was stolen, who believed that 81 million people could never have voted for Joe Biden. Well, some of those people came in with a Confederate flag, the flag of treason, the flag of slavery, had never been in the Capitol. Johnson's pardon, Andrew Johnson, I'm talking about, it didn't bring healing or justice. What happened after the Civil War? They were pardoned. Well, we got Jim Crow. Jim Crow then existed at the end of Reconstruction. Happens in 1865. By 1877, federal troops were pulled out of the South. They were there trying to enforce the ability for 4 million black people who had been slaves to finally be able to own land and get jobs. And many were elected to Congress and things like that. Well, that ended. And the Ku Klux Klan rose and a reign of terror rose and all the white rebellion rose. And Jim Crow was enacted for another 90 years before it would be overturned by Lyndon Johnson in the civil rights movement. By the way, with the votes of many and the majority of the then Republican Party. A young Gerald Ford, who went on to be president, just did an episode with an author, Richard Smith, who wrote a great new biography on him. Gerald Ford voted for those civil rights bills. Bob Dole did. Many did. Okay, this is in the 20th century. Anyway, Andrew Johnson was no Lyndon Johnson, okay? He vetoed a bill guaranteeing the citizenship of black people right after the Civil War. He did not want Reconstruction. Congress overrode him. They were called radical Republicans. Yeah. They overrode him. That's not critical race theory. That's history, okay? So Ron DeSantis is an arsonist. He's a political arsonist. He's a cultural arsonist. His vehemence, his tyranny, his bullying of women's right to control their bodies, of kids learning their history, of books that no longer can be read, of kids who just want to be themselves and being told they can't do that. Disney defending itself against homophobic discrimination. No, they're not allowed to do that. They shall be penalized too. This is Ron DeSantis. And now he, even with a wink and a nod to insurrectionists and racists, is saying, hey, let's just get through this. Yeah, I could see forgiving you. January 6th was a day, but just another horrible day, I guess, but another day. Well, if you don't root out, right, what we found and learned in January 6th, and we're starting to do, is, you know, over 800 people have been charged, and now 14 or 15 are going to big sentences, and organizers are paying the price, and we'll see what Jack Smith and special counsel do about Donald Trump and his role in inciting this horrific event, this black mark on our country's soul, this vandalism against our capital, both spiritually and politically. If you don't stamp this stuff out, the cancer doesn't disappear. It's metastatic. And Trumpism is nothing if not deeply cancerous and deeply metastatic. And as we can see, Trump on the ticket or not, though I believe he will take another form. It's why this podcast was formed. It's what we fight against. And everything we try to not only prevent from happening, but that we see as a grave and perhaps irreversible threat to American democracy. Again, on this Memorial Day, we still have the freedoms to yell and scream at each other, for me to stand here and talk to you, and people are free to speak the language of, like Ron DeSantis, of sedition and hate and intolerance, and act as would-be authoritarians and autocrats. The freedom to be able to do that, though, is what we're fighting for. We are not fighting to affirm anything other than the ability to agree to disagree. That's democracy. Shutting down your enemies, forgiving crimes against the Constitution of the country, that's not democracy, that's autocracy. Again, thank you to all who have served. Thank you to everyone who is currently serving on this patriotic weekend. God bless America. And I mean that. And of course, to everyone who follows this podcast, thank you for making us grow and helping us fight the fight for democracy. By the way, don't forget to go to @DirtyModerateNation. We are TikToking a lot these days. You will see me green screened and all, issuing forth on a various issue. Always, though, in support of the American experiment and democracy. Wish you all a great weekend and what's left of it on this holiday. And of course, as always, stay dirty, stay moderate, and stay safe.